Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Danny Cola. In today's episode, I interview Mallory Gaston. He is a fitness entrepreneur and the founder of Body Mechanics Personal Training Facilities in Northern California. And I met Mallory last year when he took a road trip to several different cities in the United States, visiting different fitness facilities. He landed in Chicago at the Underground Fitness Studio, which is my gym here in Park Ridge, Illinois, which is 10 minutes outside of O'Hare Airport. He took my 45-minute functional strength and conditioning class, which is kettlebells, mace, and clubs, a little bit of cardio conditioning. After the class was over, we hung out, talked a little bit about the fitness industry and some of the ups and downs and some of his experience and what he has kind of endured in his 20-plus year career. We played with his dog, Duke, who he brought with all over the country, and it was just a great time. I also reconnected with Mallory in Vieste, Italy, southern Italy, at Human Fit Project, which was an amazing event that was 5 days where we went over several different fitness modalities like Landmine U, kettlebells. We did a little zero RM strap training, isometric strap training, battle ropes, hydro core, steel club with Mark Wildman. We hung out at several different restaurants and bars and beach parties, and we really just got to know each other, and it was a wonderful time. We capture a little bit of that gold on this podcast. So without further ado, here's the podcast with Mallory Gaston. Joining us is also none other than the founder of Human Fit Project, Maurizio Tangari. And here we have a wonderful time. So if you want more information on Mallory, check him out on Instagram at the Mallory Gaston. You can find my Instagram at Danny Cola Fitness, and you can follow Maurizio at unconventional.republic. And if you're looking for more information on Human Fit Project, you can follow the Instagram at humanfit.project, and more information on the website in the show notes. So thank you, gentlemen, for joining me. Quick little story about Mallory. The way I interacted with you first was via Instagram, and you hit me up and you're like, dude, I'm coming to your gym. Mm-hmm. And you held up to your word and you drove all the way across the country. I'm pretty sure you started in San Fran. And then tell us a little bit about that trip, because you went all over the United States visiting different gyms,
I met all you guys coaches on this trip.
Yeah.
I met him on this trip as well.
Beautiful. So let's talk a little bit about that trip, because when you came to my gym, you know, usually you hear a lot of people that want to hit you up on Instagram and be like, hey, let's do this, let's do that. But nobody ever follows up.
All right. So prior to me doing that, I used to do this internationally. Right. So I started traveling late in life. A young lady got me. She sort of pressured me. A little bit of pressure. Because I was a workaholic. You know, I started this business with like all my money, like no loans, no jack, you know.
Yeah.
So I was scared of failing. And because the fear of failure was there biting at my ass, I was always turned on. Right.
Like, yeah, I feel that right now. I feel that exact feel.
Like literally, right? I don't know. It's hard to explain if you're not that type of person, right? Or you're not in that situation, right?
Yeah.
I'm in that situation where when I look around, I don't necessarily. Well, she took me on a trip. She traveled all the time and she didn't have any of the things that I wanted. So I never listened to her. And then she finally forced me to go on a trip. And then when I went on this trip, you know, I told her one of the things I wanted to do is meet fitness people, right? Yeah. I thought it'd be a good idea to meet fitness people while I was traveling. If I had to go with her, you know, I'm like, I'm going to learn something and bring it back.
Yeah. And let's go back here. You've owned and been the founder of Body Mechanics. You have several gyms in the California, Northern California area, right?
Yes, sir.
And
I'm just the founder right now. I don't run the day to day right now.
Okay. Well, you know, a few decades in the industry, your main role kind of morphs, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I don't even think I could do that. I don't think I could actually do that right now. But anyway, we went and we met. She was cool too, because she called and she hooked me up with all these people and all the places that we went to. We went to Amsterdam, Brussels, England, France, and one more place. I can't remember, but each place I met with a fitness person. Like one of the people just went to Landmine U in Amsterdam, right? Because I stayed in contact with all these people. I went and that started that part. Then I started doing a bunch of international stuff with Spartan kettlebells, people out of Sweden and stuff like that, meeting in different parts of the globe to do stuff, right? Yeah. I'm like, man, this is kind of cool, right? I see right now that the fitness people, they open to meeting fitness people, especially when you're not from the same market. Yeah. I mean, it's like once you're not from the same market, all the BS sort of fades away a little bit. Right?
Yeah. Well, I've met fitness people on both ends, people that are welcoming and open to some of these new ideas. And then also people who shun me pretty quickly when I say, hey, take a look at this club or this mace. They're like, yeah, it's a fad. I've run into those people too.
You know, I mean, well, you know, I wasn't going to visit those types though. So we called and we checked before we went.
Yeah.
And I knew who I was going to see. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And this was before heavy social media. You know, you're sending emails and shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I went and did that and I did it for probably a whole decade. So I met a bunch of people internationally. Then one day I was like, man, America's pretty damn big because I went across Europe several times, right? Mm-hmm. And America's, it's a lot going on here, man. You know, this is how people get in the lull here because it's like several countries.
Yeah, well, right? It's a six-hour flight.
Yeah, yeah.
6 hours from Los Angeles to New York, right?
Yeah.
6 hours. And then to drive that distance takes several days. So man, you drove from San
Diego. 6 weeks to do all this stuff, man.
6 weeks. Where did you start?
I thought it was going to take 4 weeks. I started in San Francisco. Then I went down the coast to San Diego. And when I got to San Diego with his crew down there, I went to WEX. And then once I was at WEX, they start pointing me to, you know, everybody started, you need to go meet this person. You need to go see this person. You need to go see that. Because I told them what I was doing. And, yeah. You know, Road to Weakness was like, he thought I lived in a van. He was like, oh, you're a van life. You live in a van. And I was like, okay, yeah, bro. You know, no, I just have a van and I'm going across the country to meet people such as yourself. Right. And I mean, for me too, like at my age or whatnot, you want to know exactly where you sit in your industry. It's kind of hard, you know, with Instagram, you know, people elevate themselves and put the best part of themselves, you know, to be seen on Instagram, right? But real life is like something different, right? You pull up on people, right? So I'm like pulling up, right? And I'm like, man, it looks like everybody doing wonderful around here. Everybody knowing a bunch of stuff. I'm doing, you know, let me just go roll up on everybody and see, you know, and I rolled up on some people. Some people I paid for sessions, stuff like that, because if I thought they had something I wanted to know and I wasn't going to go ask for stuff, I'd just pay.
Sure.
And they gave me then when the shit was over, they gave me my money back. You know, I was like, good, professional courtesy. Once they realized, like, oh, this dude's serious, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, he didn't really learn anything, but I say, but I came and I appreciate what you have to teach, right? I totally appreciate it, right? But
yeah,
they showed me that courtesy. You know who did that? Dr. Joel.
Dr. Joel. Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me that story.
And, yeah, he gave me his book and gave me my money back. I was like, thanks, man, you know? But I wasn't going to waste the dude's time and just pull up on him. And just be like, dude, I'm a trainer. What's up?
So Dr. Joel, interesting, okay? I never met him in person, but I really like a lot of the stuff that he posts. I mean, he works with a lot of high-end athletes, and he's got a nice guy. I mean, his faces when he exercises, though, are very
because
they're always
they are. I still be like talking shit to him when I see him doing some of that stuff. Like, boy, there's some intense faces you got going on right there.
The faces
come to Italy too.
Okay, so another thing I really like about Dr. Joel is that, like,
he works out with a lot of high-end athletes. And he, another thing too, he's very like bold about what he feels when it comes to his fitness philosophy, like 90 degrees, no deeper than that, no more flexion than that. And then also another big proponent of his is no mobility, no stretching, no yoga. What are your thoughts about that type of philosophy? I'm not sure I agree 100%, but I would love to hear his rationale. And what was some of the things that he basically gave to you based on that philosophy?
Well, I understand how he's trying to skin the cat. You know, some of those things, just like from aging, I might not agree with, but it might be something to the 90 degree thing, you know, in terms of trying to save your joints for later on or for the actual activity that you're doing. But I'm still doing some mobility, man. You know, like I said, I'm an old cat and I'm like, hey, I feel better, bro. You know, so like for me, at the end of the day, I've been doing this long enough that I don't need a PhD to tell me what I'm feeling. Right. Like, because I started this by reading the books and following to the letter everything that was in the book. And then I think I have probably at least 30 real certifications, you know, like, I don't mean like the, you know, 2-day thing with little thin book, like 30 real certifications that I actually paid my money for, took several times or whatnot.
Over the course of 20 years or whatever.
Over the course of 20 years, you know, and I'm just like, at some point, you have to be able to think for yourself. At some point, you have data from the people that you're training. Mm-hmm. And you understand that some of this stuff is fluff. And people need to put fluff in there because they're charging like $1 a page. Like roughly, all the certifications about $1 a page. So people need to put stuff inside of these books. And once it's in the book, it's in the book, right? You know, they don't want to take it out. They'll fight you. You know, because somebody's name is on that. You know, this whole idea, this concept, I will fight you about this, right? And I'm like, man, if it was purely academic, then we would just sit down. First of all, you wouldn't have proprietary terms if it was purely academic. You learn it once and that's just it, right? So, you know, it's a money piece to this. So
that's
with
true.
That being said, you have to pay attention for yourself, you know, as a professional, because, you know, you're not going to tell me what you think is right and you're not doing any research yourself, right? I don't care. I'm going to go do it and be like, all right, look like that's working. All right. I'm getting some success with this.
Yeah, right.
Especially if you're getting reps, right? So I got my reps in. You know, and some of the stuff I'm like, you know, that's cool, you know, whatever. And, you know, a lot of times too, like the stuff that Dr. Joel is doing, it's not new, right? It just fell out of favor and then it came back in. It's not new.
That's like everything in the fitness industry, though. It always like dies out, fizzles away, and then comes back with like a new branding kind of thing.
Well, you know why, right? Because none of us want to wear our father's underwear. You know, simple as that. The next group always, you know, like when I met you and you said to me, so Mallory, what is your thing? And I sit there and I say, hey, I laid the cobblestones for the guys who want to have these little small gyms, right? Because when I started doing this, no one thought they can compete with a large gym with a sauna, a pool, a jacuzzi, all this shit. You know, look at this little ass place that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
You know, I know that I am it. The equipment is not it. The space is not it. Wherever I pull up, people pulling up.
That's right. That's right.
And it took me a while to learn that. I didn't know that at the beginning. And then after a while, I was like, shit, man, I'm in this place. Everything's sparkling. And all these machines in here, but I don't use any of the equipment. Right? Why are people coming to me? Right? Well, initially, they came through the door because all that sparkly stuff.
Yeah.
But when we actually got down to it, I wasn't using any of that shit at all. And I looked.
Yeah, people are showing up for you and the energy that you bring.
Yeah, I didn't know that though, bro. I thought they would come for the equipment too. You know what I mean?
Well, it's interesting that you say this, you know, because, you know, I think about this quite a lot. And in my young career, I mean, I have an interesting career. I've been in the industry, in the fitness industry for 17 years, 15, 16 years, whatever it is, 07 to now is.
Yeah, I got certified. I've seen that Bally's clip of you, boy. I've seen that Bally's clip. I was like, that's Danny.
That's right. So I started when I was 18. I worked in gyms for, you know, from 2007 to roughly 2013. And then I became a high school teacher while still doing in-homes and one-on-one training while I became a high school teacher, because there was a lot of other things that I wanted to do. But then I fell back into training and podcasting back in 2018. And then I started working at different gyms, and I started to see, like, you know, a following slowly start to build. And I realized really quickly, it didn't matter whether I was in this gym, that gym, going to your house or whatever, or this field, it was this, the energy that I was bringing, the passion that I was bringing, and like my understanding of programming to a certain degree that was getting them results that made people continue on. So yeah, I realized that now, that it's not about the space, it's not about the shiny tools and all that. It's the energy that you bring. And then what another thing that you do really well, and I've learned this when I was in Italy with you, is that you prop up others. You help them establish themselves and become the best version of themselves as a trainer, so that they could relay that information on to their customers and keep the ship going. So, like, what's the biggest, like, number one thing for success in this business long term that you would say? Is it the energy that the trainer brings? Is it the culture?
Consistency.
Consistency. Right?
But because the reason why it's consistency, because, you know, people are coming to us and everybody that comes to us, every last one of them that comes to us wants to be more confident. I don't care what your goal is, whatever that goal is, it's gonna make you feel better about yourself, right? And you need to be consistent enough that every time they come in, they always feel like they're moving towards that.
Yeah.
Right? And you need to be comfortable with yourself, right? So I don't know too many successful trainers who don't have self-confidence. You know, this is how come I was so impressed with the Human Fit, because there's a bunch of peacocks in the room and everybody turned that shit down, right? And, you know, you've been to things where the peacocks just doing this shit all day. I only seen one peacock. Mauricio, there's no other peacocks. Everybody just turned it down. Everybody, that's not usually the case. I don't know what it was about the vibe, but everybody respected everybody and they turned that shit down. But, you know, in order to, like, I can't come in here feeling like shit 20 days out of the month thinking I'm going to make these other people feel great.
Right.
I can't manage my own shit. Right. Like, you know, I need to be able to, even if I'm having a problem, I'm going to come in and I'll talk about the problem, but I'm going to talk about fucking solutions.
Yes.
Right.
I love this.
I'm not a fucking victim. You know, I take care of business.
Can I,
people want to hear
that.
Can
I say something? Yeah. Can I say something about Mahler? It's so interesting.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, like he was doing this tour. Tour around US, you mentioned, and I think, I don't remember, maybe Dan Palacio that I was in touch, I don't remember who told him. So anyone,
you put anyway, me in touch with a few people.
Yeah, but someone told me, oh, there's this dude, he's cool, you should meet him, blah blah. Say yeah.
Oh no, no, you know who sent me to you?
Dan.
Dan. Nope. Jesse. From Foundation.
Oh,
training.
Jesse. Yeah.
Jesse sent me.
Salas. Yeah.
He said, you need to go. He need to say, you need to go see this guy. This guy is cool.
Pull
over to your house. I'm like, man, what the fuck? Where am I at, man?
Yeah, you can't. I mean,
I'm like, this is this dude's house, man. Like, I thought I was going to a gym, you know?
Yeah, so he came to my house with this van and this cute little dog. And
Duke.
I didn't know what. I don't know. I don't. Yeah, Duke. I didn't know who was this guy. You know, say, yeah, he's a friend of Jesse's, friend of mine. I don't care. You know, just come over for a coffee. I didn't know what he wanted, you know.
So, right.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much. House. How you say, so what do you want?
You know, like, so you say, what's going on? Talk, yeah. Man. We start talking, you know, and, you know, probably you know me, Danny. You know, I go by guts, you know, let's see someone, yeah. You know, get good vibe. I said, yeah. This dude is just so humble, so cool. I didn't know he had gym. I didn't know he was in fitness. I thought it was just a friend of Jesse going around US and just stopped to say hi, you know, and get a coffee chat, maybe go for breakfast. I don't know. And then he starts filming. I say, what's going on here? I don't understand. You know, put the camera and things and talking to me and questions and things like that. And it was interesting. We had a good conversation about anything. And then I told him about Human Fit. And, you know, he told me a little bit about him. And then I go next here, go next there and that. And after he connect with me, because I went to his place in Oakland to do a little workshop, a little like demo about hydrocore and Hydra. And then, you know, when people talk, you have the feeling when people just talk, you know, and people mean things and people mm-hmm. will do things, right?
Definitely.
And when he said to me, oh yeah, I'll come to Human Fit, and then at the beginning I said, okay, you know, whatever. And then he hooked me, hey, I'm really coming, you know. And just he came to Vieste, to Italy. It was so cool to see him again.
I was very surprised to see Alan.
You rolled up, you didn't even know I was you rolled yeah, up and said, around. He's like, oh shit.
Yeah,
Really, you left an impact, not just on me, but everybody, all my friends from Italy, you know, all the other trainers. When we talk about you, you just have such a personality, just the way you put yourself up there, the way you talk is very unique. And then I'm so glad, you know, honored to, you know, I can call you a friend, a brother, you know.
Well,
but
thank
the,
you, brother.
The way,
That's been
no,
fine.
Absolutely. The way you... You always are willing to explore and meet people. You know, I like when I meet a new person, I never ask who you are, what you do. I don't care about this shit. I get the feeling, the impression, because that can change my perspective, how I see a person, right? If you say someone, oh, you know, I own a 10 Ferrari and a castle in Tuscany,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Kind of, you know, yeah, it can kind of change your yeah. view, you know? So that's why I never ask. I didn't ask you, you know, who you are, what you're doing, because I wanted to get to know you, you know, and yeah. and that was great, because, you know, in time I get the chance to get you know better, not because you're in gym, which I don't give a shit about it, you know, mm-hmm. because who you are. That's what mattered to me. I mean, I'm a friend with mm-hmm. Danny or Junior, other people, because the way they are. I like to talk yeah. to you guys, to meet you guys. I mean, I came in Thanksgiving. I went to visit Mallory in South Salito. We spent like a few hours together. We went for lunch.
Yeah.
I did a little workout in his gym. It was great to get to know him in his environment with the people. I see, walk with him on the street. It's like me walking in Vieste. Everybody, hey, Mallory. The guys stopped
yeah.
and asked
him. Oh, that was hey, crazy Mallory, in Vieste, though. I was like, hey, I was they like, go, this fucker's the mayor. You know, like, okay, we're going through.
Go to Sausalito, the doors. Yeah, if you go to Sausalito, doors just open. And there's like a red okay. carpet just go in front of him. You have like people throwing rose to his back.
No,
you know? Just,
they wasn't doing
yeah,
that.
I mean,
they wasn't doing
the man
that.
There.
They
he's
doing
the
that.
Man there. He's amazing.
But I know a few people. I think I'm the only black dude walking around this joint, so they can see me from a mile away. You know, it's cool. I blend in somehow.
Mallory, what were your initial thoughts, first thoughts of Southern Italy?
Well, first of all, I had not heard of Vieste, right? So look, we rode from Rome. We drove from Rome, which is a pretty drive. Very
three and
pretty
a half?
Drive. But
how yeah. how many hours?
I think 4 hours, 3.5, 4 hours.
Yeah.
And it's pretty. It's a really pretty drive. That was worth the drive. But you know, look, I've never been to Italy before. I go to Italy, went to Rome for like a day. And then we drove down to Vieste. So I'm sitting there, man, like, man, I hope it's good, because we just drove away from Rome, you know. Then we pulled up and I was like, oh, this is postcard. You know, mm-hmm. this is nice, right? And then two, the fact that that the man knows the town like the back of his hand. Again, he knows everybody there, and he, you know, definitely set it out for us, right? Like, some of the people didn't have the patience to enjoy everything that was taking place. Like, but I've learned how to travel, and I know that when you travel, things don't always work out seamlessly, right? And when it don't work out, you know, I just have a good time wherever the hell I'm at, because I'm in a different place, right? If the car didn't come pick me up, I'm sitting here looking at the ocean, I'm going to fucking sit and look at the ocean until the damn car get there. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm on a trip, you know, no big deal. You know, as long as I can get to my destination, it's fine. Everything was fine. But I really appreciated all the things that we were able to do to take in the culture. Like, when we went to that fishing restaurant, come on, man. That shit is burnt in my head right now. Because I didn't know exactly where we were going. Then we pulled up, and I was like, man, this shit looked kind of crazy. Then we went down there, I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And the music, and I'm like, man, this is fucking crazy. Like, I don't know where to do some shit like that here. I mean, my daughter might get married over there, man.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up. I'm pushing her, like, man, I think you should do this. This is not like the normal thing that everybody do. You go do something else, you know? And they can ask you, where is that place? Or where? Yeah, I know people, you know, like, come on now. And I think, like I was talking to you previously, Danny, this is what I get out of traveling, right? I don't travel to go look at fucking old buildings and shit like that. I go to meet fucking people. I don't give a fuck about your museum. You done stole hella shit. I don't fucking want to see that shit. I want to hang out with the people, talk to the people, learn a little bit about your culture so I can get a better understanding of how I fit into the community of the world, right? Because I don't see myself as just the dude from East Oakland. That's why I don't even like be there or whatnot. I stopped going there because I'm like, man, it's just too much stuff. We're not going to see it all.
You're international, Mallory, now.
We're not going to see it all, even if we try. So you better get after it right now, you know? Because I'm trying to see as much as possible and meet as many people as possible.
Yeah, and through that process, you realize that we have way more in common than we do different, you know?
Yeah,
that part. And it's really cool to have, you know, a guy like yourself who's been in this business for, you know, a few decades, and you're asking the same questions that I'm asking, and you're thinking about the same things that I'm thinking about. And like, what does it mean to have a sustainable business that's long term? And then how does your role change throughout the years? And how do you help people build their own thing? And how do you go out and seek new levels of knowledge? And how do you fit in with new communities in the fitness industry specifically that you could bring back and then teach your people or your local community? And I found that, you know, ever since I went to my first few workshops back in 2018 and, you know, going to Maui Fit and then taking the trip to Vieste, I've always found that, like, every time I come back, I'm super energized. I'm way more excited. Yeah. My customers feel it. You know, I'm way more enthusiastic, and there's just so much more opportunity that kind of shows itself from years to come, seems like.
They wait for you to come back. They already know you're about to come back on that. Danny going to come back on that bullshit. He come back like, I'm going to make you guys do all types of, because
they know
your energy change, and you need that sometimes, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
I think also that kept me in this industry as well, because, you know, I run the business from the top to the bottom. I know all the parts. You know, people watch me do this for years. People with money, they watch me do this for years. People try to take me away from my business to do things more lucrative. And, you know I have an aptitude to do other things, but it's no replacement for the people interaction. Yeah. I don't know an industry where you interact with people like this, right? I just don't. And like, for me, you know, I was doing computers before this, and before that, I was fucking street gangster. You know what I'm saying? So I had a moment of where all this wasn't right. Right? Ooh, this geez. And this wasn't right. These two wasn't right. And fitness took those rough edges off. The people took those rough edges off, man. And I couldn't go back to doing like normal, like work where the human interaction was going to be cut. Right.
I agree.
This actually made me believe in people again. Right. Mm. Because I tell you, I went a whole 10 years without making one male friend, a whole decade, you know, late teens to, you know, late 20s, you know, just no male friends. Like, I fucking get out of my face. I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't trust you. You know, that's no way to live. Right. So when
let's talk a little bit about that. Unpack some of that a little bit. So would you feel like you were kind of like breaking away from the male archetype because of fights or bad shit that gone on previously in your life when streets or whatever?
Of course, because the street stuff is cutthroat, right? It's not really, if you really in the streets for real, it ain't no friends. It's no friends.
Yeah, it's got to be fight or flight all the time.
Yeah, it's no friends. Especially if you know, the type that's seen, right? If people can see you, you know, if you're doing well, then you need to, you know, do the other part to go along with that. You need to protect and defend all the time, right? So the best way to do that is no friends, you know? Mm. That's the best way because, you know, all the dudes that's in the box most of the time is some so-called friend that has something to do with it, right? Unfortunately, but that's the truth, right? Either directly or indirectly. You're running your mouth, talking about things in the herd, seeing, you know, whatever, you know? So I learned early that, dude, there's no friends here, right? And, you know, and I mean, it's kind of hard to make a friend when everybody's on that. Right. So you would be pretty foolish. Right. And quite frankly, it kept me safe, but it didn't do the insides here and here any good. Right. It was terrible.
Yeah.
And then one day I realized it. I was like, damn, man, I think I'm damaged. You know, and my natural sense. I mean, you guys see my natural sense. I am not. I'm going to tell you something. You know that when I left all that life and I got into this, the number one thing for me is it wasn't money. It was being my own boss and being in control of my destiny and not having somebody in charge of me that didn't respect me as a person or a human being, right? I believe this is why a lot of Black men die earlier than everybody else. It's just that being in situations where you're not comfortable. Nobody's paying attention to none of your shit. They don't, you know, they constantly telling you, you're making it up. It's in your head. I'm like, man, you know how I'm gonna deal with that? I'm not fucking working for you. Simple as that. I'm not working for your ass. You can work for me, but I ain't working for you. And that's how I deal with it, right? And I'm happier. I'm a happier individual. And I know that most people, everybody can't be their own boss. But if you can be your own boss, that's a nice remedy to a lot of the bullshit, right?
Oh, totally.
I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go out, fight for myself. And if I can put you on, then I'm going to put you on if I feel like that's good. But like I was about to say that I actually ran this shit as a cooperative for probably 7 years. It was the only fitness cooperative in the United States. And there's a reason why it was the only one. It's a fucking shitty idea, you know, totally shitty idea because the personality types in this industry, they don't fit that type of stuff where, you
so
know,
what's a fitness co-op? Break that down.
Co-op, whenever you run in something as a co-op, basically you are dividing up people's responsibility and dividing up, you know, the reward. Right. So if I got 12 people here, the 12 people are responsible for all the bills. 12 people are responsible for cleaning up. 12 people are responsible for getting, you know, and we had all this shit on paper.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, the trainers come in and you would think that this would be a good deal. Right. You're coming from the gym. I got a gym over here. You're going to pay your little monthly. We're going to get you some leads. So you can keep, you know, we need to work inside of a process.
Right.
Just like we're at the gym. So you can keep your business up and running, not just a personal training studio where people pay the hours and that's it. No, we had it set up like, no, you have responsibilities here. You need to clean up. You need to do this, you know, and everybody's income triple, right? They come from a $40,000 situation, go to $120,000, $100,000 situation, fucking overnight. Still, people couldn't clean up, couldn't show up to the marketing event, you know, just like, you know, because they weren't responsible enough. They weren't real bosses. You know, they didn't really, they just wanted a higher paycheck. Right. Sure. And then at the end of the day, they all turned into employees when it was convenient. They wanted to act like an employee. Nobody ever wanted to act like a boss, only on payday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's when everybody wants to be a boss. I want a boss check, but I don't want to do none of the boss stuff. And even though it's split 12 ways, you don't even have to do the full thing. So what happened is I end up always taking up all the responsibility. One fucking dude, you know? And I mean, and then it got to a point where, you know, Instagram came out. When Instagram got popular, oh, that just killed that though. Because now everybody thought they were going to be famous tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody was in there doing all type of, I'm like, shit. Mm-hmm. So now you couldn't get, yeah, no, I need, well, that sort of broke the cooperative because we needed those people to engage with us to build a brand so we could bring people through the door. So it's sort of like, hey, man, I gave you the fucking 12 people that you needed to start your little shitty ass business. Now you got the 12 people and you don't want to do anything so I can help the next dude that's coming through the door. You're about to go start a studio down the street and I'm sitting there patting you on the back saying, all right, go ahead and start your studio. But I need John here to be up and ready when you leave, right? So you get people in-house trying to play both sides of the coin, right? Mm. I'm going to take your assistance, but I'm not going to help you because I see you're growing. And I'm not growing. I was like, man, I just put you on.
Yeah.
Right.
What I'm hearing is like a lot of these trainers have this scarcity mindset. If they're, you know, they think that if somebody else is going to be successful, that somehow deteriorates their success, which is just not true. I mean, there's plenty
to
go around for everybody.
Went right down the street, opened up and been successful. Right. And I'd be waving at you. Hey, man, how you doing? You know, I was like, dude, you ain't taking none of my people. You know, you're just going to go. I mean, if it was meant to be like that, you would already took them. You know, so I didn't care about that. Right. I was willing to help. But, you know, a lot of those folks, you know, that's how they were. So I had to kill that and bring it down to back to employees, which I didn't want to do because that turned me into a fitness manager.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be a fitness manager. Right. I wanted to deal with professionals that were on par with me.
Yeah.
Right. But it wasn't that many people who were on par. If they could do one part, they couldn't do another part. And if they could do that part, they couldn't do another part. And nobody would admit it. Right. You know, even if they could do it, then they would have to have the willingness to do it.
There's not a lot of people. There's not a lot of people out there that have the audacity to do all the stuff like you. You know, people like you
it took me a while to figure that shit out, though, bro. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm just now saying this to you right now. I won't even say it. You know, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't tripping. But like, you know, you got to understand, like with that past thing back there, for me, it's always feast of famine or life or death in my mind. Mm. And that's why I'm on like this all the time. Right. I'm like, shit, if I got a choice, I'm fucking feasting. You know, like if it's my choice, I'm feasting. I got up at 5 o'clock this morning to go do a 7 o'clock class because I had a dude running this gym over here who got himself into some gambling, you know, got a gambling problem and he's still stealing money. And I had to fire him.
Oh my goodness.
He was my number one dude. Yeah. He was my number one guy there. You know, he was the glue of that place, right? Usually, you know what happened when the glue of the place disappears, the place fall apart. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I, you know, I basically had to go in there, and now I'm the fucking glue. I got to go to. I wasn't expecting to do that at 50 fucking 2 years old.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding. But you know what? I can. I don't want to. Right? Somebody else would have shut that motherfucker down. I see it all the time. I see people shut shit down that they could save. And they just shut it down because it's too hard. It's like, man, shit, man.
You know, when I hear...
You got crazy.
When I hear you talk, because you do a lot of very similar stuff like I do, it's like when I have conversations like this with guys like you, Maurizio, and all the other people that we've kind of talked to or take these trips, it accelerates my learning process. This is the beauty of this industry. It's like I'm learning through your experience right now as I sit here and talk to you, and I take as much of your experience and I kind of like just try to take on as much of that as I can in this, you know, 60 minutes that we're chatting, and it makes me that much better. And anybody else that's in a similar situation listening to this, that much better because of how fast information moves. And it's so important. I think that's what's happening at Human Fit, right? It's like we all meet together. We're all sharing all this, you know, unconventional knowledge when it comes to fitness and exercise, longevity, health. And you know, it talks, we talk a little bit deeper about, you know, our mental side, our emotional side, some of our past traumas and how that dictates how we operate in our present day, you know? And I think at the end of the day, all this stuff just accelerates learning for all of us. And it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I think, I'm glad you guys, Danny, opened this conversation because, you know, like I mentioned to you and I mentioned to Mallory when I went to visit him, I wanted this type of conversation be more accessible during the next Human Fit. You know, that was fun when we did it, but I want to go deeper on get to know not just, you know, Mallory as a person, as a human, or you, but that we're going to have a lot of opportunity about that. But also this type of conversation, this experience you guys put in the fitness industry as a business owner, how this can help in some way to coach or other business owner to understand more what they're doing. You know, there's always some time in your life that you question yourself if you do the right things, what you do, what I can do to
always
improve, to change. Or I mean, maybe just do something different. It's not related to fitness, and you just want to go another direction, follow the child dream, you know. But this is so important to talk, and that we're gonna have this the next Human Fit. I wanted this. If you will be willing to open yourself, Mallory, tell your story, tell where you come from, and you know, share what you're sharing now, you know, to us, to the crowd, we're gonna have a Human Fit because it's so important. It's so important to listen, you know, this type of things. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are going to have a lot of questions about this.
For sure.
You know, I was thinking, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, man.
No, and also I was thinking another thing. I was like kind of, you know, every time I think about you, Mallory, he made me think, you know, your trip, the trip you did it. I think it would be cool to replicate the trip, I mean, in somehow. And maybe have in the with a bigger van, like
I'm just saying, I want to take you with me.
Yeah, you, right? Junior, me, and you, I do like a live, like filming or podcast the entire trip.
You gotta vlog it, the whole vlog.
The thing was crazy though, dude. Like I think everybody, especially in these times now, everybody need to get out on the road. Go out and talk to some people, right? Because see, Mallory, right? I'm the black man that keeps mixed company, right? Because I don't trust liberals and I don't trust really conservative people. I don't trust neither one of these motherfuckers, right? I don't care, right? Because I'm not being served one way or another, right? I'm not. So with that being said, when I go out into the community, I go with truth. And I done met... I'm in Marin right here, you know, all these people here, you know, they think they like the highest of the high, man. You know, ain't no doubt about it. They think, you know, they'd catch me out. They walking around here like, I do everything right. You know, excellent. Okay, cool. But I'm going to tell you, I was in some places that you would think that people would be like fucking shitty to me and fucking nice as fuck. Like, hey, sir, how you doing? Fucking missing tooth, everything. Oh, let me help you with that. You know, I'm like, damn, man. Shit, you know? And it was more like they just vibed off of what they felt coming off of me and they returned it, right? Where sometimes here, I can't get people to look me in the fucking eye because they walking around all guilty and shit. They see me and they're like, oh, shit. They're a little black person. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, for real? You know? Like, what the fuck, man? For real? I'm like, what you doing, man? Right? And it's this, you have to be able to be uncomfortable sometimes. It's all right. But some people not used to being uncomfortable when you always are being pacified. You can always have a $7 latte. You can always, you know, whatever. It's like, man, you feel that, like we exercise, right? We exercise, and part of exercising is being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You can even tell like the type of exercise people do here. It's all, you know, it's different, right? And nobody here getting hit in the fucking face, going out, you know, they ain't doing that type of stuff, man. It's like, nope, right? So having some type of balance, right? And I ain't saying that these people wrong. I'm just recognizing this is what happens when you go hella generations of living well, right? You're not worried about all that shit.
Me and
about none of that.
Wildman and I were talking about this, and G Money and those guys get deep in the history. We're talking about five generations theory, and we get to generation five right now, where everyone is a little too comfortable studying things that don't count.
Some of the stuff, it ain't relevant.
They're also very far removed from the first two generations that kind of built everything and understood the sacrifice that came along with living better, right? So we're now at this fifth generation where we kind of forgot about what it was like to build this up to where we get this comfortable living.
The calluses, where did these calluses come from? Somebody had to do something and give up something to put all this shit in place,
right?
And I'm sitting here and I'm like, damn, man, that's kind of crazy. But you know, one thing about like the training that I do, I get to be with people one-on-one. And even if they like that, I make them recognize that they're like that. And we try to deal with it with exercise, right? Mm. So I got a thing called grit and grace. And that's my mantra right now, because I'm trying to give these people some fucking grit, you know? And it don't have to be all bloody noses and XYZ, but they need to understand that, man, sometimes you're going to be uncomfortable in life and you should not always run away from the discomfort. Sometimes
in fact, it's a necessity.
It. Yeah, that's how you necessity. Know the difference, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody here, you know, they're going to yoga and doing Pilates and, you know, whatever. It's just like, dude, hey, I'm sorry, but you need to do some of these other things, man, you know, and push yourself outside of, yeah, go out to the deep water every now and then.
Yeah.
You know,
I know. There's too much build inside, around the comfort zone. People do what they, you know, feel good to do it, and they're good doing it. They keep doing the same shit over and over.
Yeah.
And they never want to try experiment. They all like, you know, say, oh, that's bullshit, without even understanding or talk or, you know, confrontation. And this happened a lot in the fitness industry, but you know, that's what life it is. You know, I mean, me coming from Italy, I mean, probably you, Danny, kind of, you know, you have the culture, you know, eradicating you because your father, your ancestors, right?
Yeah.
And probably also you, Mallory, because, you know, you did what you did in life. You come from experience. They were not always nice, right?
Not always, right?
I mean, I don't know if you sense that when you came to Italy, but you know, when I go in there, when I come in here, I kind of have to disconnect from the two different culture and then act in a different way, which I don't like it, because you know, sometimes even, you know, my wife stopped me when to not say things.
Yeah. Or every, yeah. I well, mean, you I'm, you I'm, cut and dry. You cut and dry. Yeah. You give it like.
I'm not afraid to tell people you suck.
Appreciate that, man.
You know, that's all.
Right. Yeah. I appreciate that shit. And, you know, even I might even be with some people. You know, you might say some shit to burn their ears and shit. And I'll fucking tell them, hey, calm down. You know, remember I introduced you to the lady and I told you about her before we went in there. Right. Because I just know how she is. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I'm more like the truth needs to be heard.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes the truth is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just like, shit, how the hell? I want to know if I got a problem with somebody. I don't want to fucking sit there and find out.
Oh, yeah.
The wrong way that I got a problem with somebody. I would be like, all right, just tell me now what's going on. Why you don't like me again?
Well, let me say this, though.
Yeah.
If you're talking about how people need more resistance to develop more character or higher level character and develop skills and all that, and they're not necessarily doing it. Right. And then somebody out of the blue talks about some of their skills that they're lacking that's causing issues. They can't take that kind of torment.
No.
Even personally, like myself, when I realize, like in meditations or maybe some psychedelic work, when I realize, oh my God, what am I doing to contribute to my own problems? It's hurtful. And it makes me realize, oh shit. There's something here that I have to change up, and I got to change up quickly, or else something in my inner circle is going to suffer, or I'm going to suffer, and it's not going to be good.
So let me tell you something, all right? This ties into the foundation that I just started. What I've found is once you have gathered and earned someone's trust first, then it opens the door for these hard conversations.
Yeah.
So we train people, right? And I train people and they come in with their ideas or their views or shit like that. And I let them have those ideas and views and I work on gaining trust. And once the trust is gained and you say the dumb shit to me, then I give you a fucking lecture on the dumb shit because I feel like at this point you are open. I've established some rapport with you. You know about me, you know what I stand on, right? You understand what I'm standing on, and then I give it to you. And then at that point, I'm like, well, I'm willing to lose you as a client at this point, right? Yeah. But you already told me what you're about, and I'm about to hold you accountable to it.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, and then I come and tell you, hey, look what you just did. Look, I'm gonna give you an example. Lady told me she told me all her political shit. And I tell you, I keep mixed company. I got a conservative lady that's my dear friend. And I got a liberal lady that's my dear friend, right? I got them both together right now. The older lady is conservative. The younger lady is looking at the older because the older lady is in good ass shape. She in good shape. She impressive. So the lady say to me, she say, Mallory, I really impressed with her. I like her so much. I was like, that's cool. So I thought it'd be a good time to tell her, you know, she's conservative, right? She's like, she said, I don't like her anymore. I can't talk to her anymore. I said, man, I said, look. I say, what just changed?
Yeah,
I said, you guys don't talk about politics. You don't do none of that shit because I won't allow it. First of all, I don't allow it. We're in here to exercise, right? But the point that I'm trying to make to her is you need to be able to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
Stay out of your fucking echo chamber. You liked her. You were impressed with her just a second ago. And you just changed your mind. Because of her political affiliation.
Yeah, what team she was on.
You should talk to her and find out. Yeah, well, you should talk to her and find out how she got to that position. Right? Because I did. I talked to her and I told her, you know, I wanted to know how she got to that position. And I also told her why I have my position. Right? And then we talk about things all the time. And we do this all the time. Right? On different topics. we talk and we come to a happy medium because she trusts me. I trust her. She can't just discount me because I'm a real person that she like. Right.
Yeah.
And she can't just be like, whatever. You know what I said to her? I said, hey, I said, so she's Jewish. Right. So I said to her, I said, you know, if the Nazis came here for you, I'll hide you. I'll risk my life and I'll hide your ass. I wouldn't give a fuck. They had to kill us both. You know what I'm saying? But then on the flip side, I told her, I said, yeah, but you know, that dude you support, it's like Nazi flags and Confederate flags and shit like that. All I said, man, you can't ignore that this is a part of what you supporting. And she sat there and she thought about it. And I said, now I'm just saying, I know it ain't everybody, but you know, it's part of it, right? It's a nice contingent, right? And I said, you got to deal with that, right? You can't act like that. That's not a thing because it is a thing. You know, so you let that sit with you. And she was like, shit, man, that is something. I said, yeah, man, because you know I ain't making this shit up. I don't care what news you watch, you know?
Yeah.
Shit, you know, somebody got to vote someplace, well, right? You know, stop
that's
it.
The thing.
You know?
People are too serious about everything nowadays, you know, take everything too serious. And they have just one point of view. I mean, you know me, Danny, I like to joke about everything. You know, always post to be shit on my Instagram. And you know, I like to joke about everything. I mean, whatever is politics, whatever is other people doing other stuff. But the one thing I don't like it, I don't like when you see a person just one way is your way without to be open to discussion. I mean, it's so stupid. Don't sit at the same table with a person that's different, you know, religious view or political view or whatever, fitness perspective, whatever. I mean, it's fun because the little last month so can you hear me?
Yeah.
So you stuck us maybe it froze. Last month there was this is an Instagram page. They make fun of anything that is fitness. They don't understand. Obviously, you know, when you say fitness that you don't understand, it comes up David Weck, right?
Yeah.
David Weck is the first. Well, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, he's a genius, and he's not easy to understand what he's doing. I mean, I'm sure Mallory, when you went to see him, you kind of said, "What is fuck's going on here?" Right? You know.
Well, I read some stuff, and I just was like,
yeah,
this
yeah.
dude is like,
it's different. It's different reading
different.
And seeing
yeah.
that talking to him, right? So there was this post about, you know, some. This page just make fun of other things they don't understand about fitness. And then the post was about David Weck doing coil stuff. And then they were like joking, like 1,000 people. So I wrote on the things to say, probably all of you people just fucking a missionary position, adapt, you stay on top. I wrote that, right? Just you know, as a joke, say like, if you don't understand things, you know, that was my point. Man, they went over and around, you know, blah, 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 attacking me and the product I make and this and that.
Yeah.
It's just like ridiculous because, you know, this you can see there is no open for any confrontation, which is always productive, right? That's why, you know.
So productive. Makes everybody better.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, this is why I hang out with the European dudes, man. They fucking like debating and shit.
Love it.
And, you know, they like debating this shit. I'm just French dude, me and this dude. People think we're about to kill each other. And we just be like, you know, he got his opinions, I got mine, and we'd be going
well,
at
like
it.
Passion, like, you know, you're passionate.
Yeah,
you
he's like,
yeah, you love
you're doing all of it.
Listen, because we are more like, you know, adult now, but Mallory, back in the days, how many friends of you, you beat the shit out of each other?
Yeah.
You're still friends, right?
Yeah. Those are my best friends.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, you know. That's what's
all
about.
Because it's more like we walked away with respect.
Yeah.
We said, we don't want to do that no more. That was too rough. We don't, that's good. We good on that, you know.
Guys, I hate to do this, but it's been 60 minutes. I have to bounce out of here. That was fast, right? It's just like you're in a podcast portal. And then, boom, next thing you know, an hour goes by. So, Mallory, I want to thank you for your time. You're an amazing guy.
You coming to Italy, right?
I'm not 100% confirmed, but I'm working on it.
Come on, yeah. man. Let's make this happen, bro. We need you, Danny. We need the guitar. I'm going to
spend
this time. Come on.
I'm working on it. I really am. I'm working on it, but I'm still very much in the air, and I'm working towards just at the very least spreading the positivity about this whole thing because I believe in it. I love just hanging out with you guys. You guys are smart people in the industry. I'm learning so much, and I'm taking all this knowledge, and I'm building the gym.
It'd be much better if you show up.
Exactly.
I'm just saying. Just saying, bro.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
We might have to put the care package together for you or something. Get you out there.
We'll figure it out. We'll make it happen. Right, I'm in the process. All right, guys.
All right.
So much love. We'll see you soon, okay?
Bye, guys.
All love. Bye, Maurizio. Bye, Mal.
Bye.
Be good.
Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast, everybody. My name is Danny Cola. You can follow my Instagram at Danny Cola Fitness. And for clips of this episode, you can go to my YouTube channel at Danny Cola TV. Thank you so much. All love. Have a wonderful day, everybody.